Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's a big season for the Two-Tone Blue.
We won't let the past do the talking.
It's time to break it all down with Chase McCabe and ESPN's Teron Davenport. This is Chase and TD.
It's time to go eat, baby.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Chase and TD on ESPN 102.5 The Game, but no Chase McCabe this week. Calvin Smith filling in, my third week in a row here on the program. Chase and TD, ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking Titans with the one and only ESPN NFL Nation Tennessee Titans reporter Teron Davenport. It's Super Bowl week, Teron, the biggest week in football. How are you feeling?
Hey, man, no bad days. I don't care what the situation is. I'm feeling great. How are you?
Feeling all right. I'm honestly really excited for Sunday, but there was some news this week on the Titans coaching front. A couple shifts are going on there. Defensive coordinator, the Titans are still in the market for one of those. New inside linebackers coach coming, obviously Kerry Coombs going back to Ohio State to be their defensive coordinator. The Titans go and get Anthony Midgett to be their defensive backs coach. And Teron, with all these parts moving around, one, you know, how do you expect and kind of see these things shaking out for the Tennessee Titans? But also, does that worry you at all about the future of the defense with all the moving parts?
I don't think there's really reason to be worried. I mean, a lot of the key pieces are still going to be there, right? You got the mayor of Murfreesboro still back there. You got Kenny Vaccaro. You got Landry and, you know, Jeffrey Simmons. I think they're going to be fine. There are, like you said, some things that have moved around, right? Coach Tyrone McKenzie is no longer there. He's in Detroit. Anthony Midgett is going to be an interesting one. When you look at just the whole picture, there's different things. And I think for Vrabel, he mentioned the continuity, right? He mentioned the desire to have things continue to be similar, right? Multiple fronts, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm curious how everything is going to work out. I am very, very confident from some of the things I've been told that he won't be naming a defensive coordinator, though.
Okay. So then, one, where my mind goes when I hear your head coach will probably be calling one side of the football. We see a lot of success across the NFL with stuff like that. I mean, obviously, Bill Belichick, known in New England, he does a lot of stuff with the defensive end. Sean McVay in L.A., he called a lot of offensive plays for them. Andy Reid in Kansas City in the Super Bowl this year. But does that worry you a little bit at all with Mike Vrabel having a big hand in the defense that, hey, he's a defensive-minded head coach, and what happens with Arthur Smith at all? What if Arthur Smith has another good year? Maybe he's gone.
Yeah, well, that's kind of how this thing works, right? I mean, success breeds progress for guys that aren't at the top of the food chain. You know what I mean? So if Arthur Smith is in a position next year where he could go be a head coach somewhere, well, that means the Titans had a really good, well, in most cases, right? Because Matt LaFleur was a little bit different. But I think in most cases, that means the Titans had a really good season. Kyle Shanahan, right? Andy Reid has done it for all those years. Sean McVay does it to a point where when the defense is on the field, Sean McVay at times is sitting on the bench working offensive stuff out.
Which is crazy to me. But
that's what happens when you have a guy on the other side of the ball that you absolutely trust. Seems like Mike Vrabel really trusts Arthur Smith. So I think he can, unlike last year, remove himself. Because he was around in that offensive room an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you talk to some of the different people there in the building, he definitely was around. So that being said, I think now he can turn his focus more to the defense and be more involved there. And I know people are going to say, well, hey, you know, his last time in – Houston, when he's the defensive coordinator, they were this, this, and this. I get it. you're right. They weren't good with him under defense. Frankly, when I was going through the interview process, right, and for this job to come here to cover this team, I said to myself, man, I don't know if this guy's going to be a good coach, you know, basing off of what they – but there's more to coaching than just X's and O's.
Especially being a head coach versus a coordinator, two very different roles.
Yeah.
And I kind of – it just kind of makes me curious. Did Vrabel miss that hands-on aspect where you really get your hands dirty with the team and the scheme?
He still was doing it.
Yeah?
He still was doing it. He just was more involved on the offense this past year with Arthur Smith being a rookie play caller. Mm-hmm. That's not an issue anymore. Arthur Smith, he showed and proved what he could do. So I don't think that that's an issue. But the other thing that you have to consider is you got a guy at the top of everything giving him good groceries to cook a meal with.
Oh, yeah.
And I love X's and O's. They definitely are something that factors in. But guess what? The Jimmys and Joes exceed the X's and O's.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, as long as they have outstanding players, and we'll get into free agency, we'll get into the draft, as long as they have that, the X's and O's are important, but they could supersede it.
So then when I look at this Titans defense then and I think about the talent on the roster and how they were used with Dean Pease, I mean, Dean Pease got a ton out of what he had on this roster. I mean, you saw how he used Logan Ryan in these different ways as a slot corner, and then he would blitz and do these different kind of things. Obviously, later on in the show, we'll get into what's going on with Logan Ryan and his future in Nashville. But is there anybody on the defense that sticks out to you that you think, I think Vrabel could have something up his sleeve for him? Like, my mind, you know, Amani Hooker was a good draft pick, it looked like at the time, and a lot of people talked about him. But I feel like given how stable this Titans secondary was, you didn't see a ton from Amani Hooker just simply because he had to play a depth role because Kenny Vaccaro, Kevin Byard, had very good years. Do you think along those lines of, is there somebody Vrabel might want to use in a slightly different way from Dean Pease?
I don't really think that. I think they were so well intertwined
if
as far
broke,
as like on the same.
It.
Yeah, exactly. But I think Dean Pease and Vrabel were so much on the same page. I don't think, you know, there's going to be a difference. I tell you one thing I am curious is how much Jarrell Casey is going to be used as a stand-up guy, like as an edge guy, as opposed to being inside. You know what I mean? Because I'm not a big mock draft guy or even put – importance into that, but Marlon Davison from Auburn is a guy that I continue to see tied to the Titans. Now I talked to him in Mobile. He when I talked to him on Tuesday, he still hadn't met with the Titans, but he's a guy that if he comes in, then he's going to play the position that Jarrell Casey plays. So I wonder how they're going to work that as far as getting both of them on the field at the same time.
So we're going to get into this a little bit later, and of course a lot with Emory Hunt, but just kind of as a primer for what's coming, you were down at the Reese's Senior Bowl. We're going to get to that later. But draft prospects who fill the Titans' needs, just off the top of your head, the guys who you see plug and play for this team in Mike Vrabel's defense, what will likely be Mike Vrabel's defense, I should say.
Yeah, plug and play. Your inside linebackers right away, right? You know, Rashawn Evans.
Where they will have a new coach as well?
Yeah. Jayon Brown. Those are a couple guys right there that I definitely feel like are plug and play. Your safeties. So they're going to be fine. If you're talking what's on the roster now, they have guys that will give them that carryover. Mm-hmm.
So then I also from who they could be looking to go grab, because we'll get into this with Emory Hunt and later on in the show, but I'm just curious of someone who the Titans should have their eye on that'll fit their defense right now beyond Marlon Davidson.
I think Dane Jackson out of Pittsburgh
okay.
is a good fit.
Because we'll talk about this later in the show as well. Corners, the Titans could be in a predicament there.
Yeah, Dane Jackson, I would say Joshua Kelly. DeAndre Swift, if they want to, you know, get a guy early, Keyshawn Vaughn right here, KJ Hamler. Those are a couple names, but yeah, we're going to get into that in a little bit. So
speaking of him,
yeah,
we're going to get to Emory Hunt here coming up in just a minute. Emory Hunt of Football Game Plan will join us on the other side. This is Chase and TD. If you miss any part of this show coming up later or anything from the week of talking with TD, all the draft coverage, we got you covered. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find your podcasts, hit the subscribe button. 5-star ratings, Talking with TD. Find this show and Talking with TD, which releases every Thursday, wherever you find your podcasts. This is Welcome back to Chase the TD here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. No Chase McCabe this week. Teron Davenport to my left here. We teased Emory Hunt. We're not able to touch base with Emory as of right now, but Teron, that's okay. Because you and I, we both know a good bit about the NFL draft, and we watch college football in our own right, and there's plenty to talk about because you were down in Mobile, Alabama at the Reese's Senior Bowl. You saw everything going on down there. I know you're a big Van Jefferson fan, a guy out of Ravenwood High School in Brentwood right here in the mid-state, but some guys from around Nashville made headlines. I mean, Keyshawn Vaughn, he was hurt a little bit. Jared Pinkney, Kalijah Lipscomb were down there. Tennessee's own Jawan Jennings. The Senior Bowl had a lot of Nashville, Tennessee flavor.
Yeah, it definitely did. And, you know, sometimes you get under center and the defense, they're not giving you a look that you like and you just audible. So that's what we're going to do. And what we'll do is just kind of get into some of the guys that I felt, and I'm sure you saw a lot of it too. I want to get into some of the guys at the Senior Bowl that I think would be right prospects for the Titans. That's what we'll do with this segment. And I'm going to start it off at the quarterback position. Obviously, we feel that Tannehill should be the guy.
Will be the guy, probably.
Right, will be the guy. However, if they want to use first-round draft capital on a quarterback, I think Jordan Love is a guy that they really need to look at. In fact, John Robinson, as we've said multiple times, he met with Jordan Love down there in Mobile. So that tells you that there is a high degree of interest in Jordan Love. Have you gotten to watch him much?
So it's really my exposure to Jordan Love has been the highlight kind of stuff. The stuff you see on Twitter where the arm talent is on full display, right? And so that's kind of what I've seen from him. And I look at it and I'm like, wow, I mean, that's nice, right?
Yeah.
But you also know a little bit of – I also know a little bit about the interceptions last season. Mm-hmm. And then the interceptions and what comes into my mind is in the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah.
And when I think about drafting a quarterback, I want to see a guy who dominated lower competition. So I know you're a big Jordan Love fan, and the arm talent is something you can't replace, you can't find anywhere else. So that's when I think about Jordan Love, of course I'm going to get wary about the interceptions, but I know that you say he didn't have much around him. It was a completely different offensive staff there, and he might have been trying to do too much, and that's part of the learning process as a quarterback. And I think the Titans might actually be a really good situation for him to come into with a quarterback like Tannehill, where he can kind of come in, settle down, have A.J. Brown types around him that are good receivers, and he doesn't have to force things when he's pushed up to the next level.
Yeah, if you ask him about some of his best games, he'll tell you Stony Brook. Now, I mean, Stony Brook is not exactly University of Alabama, but I'll say this. Go watch him against Boise in 2018. He had a really good game there. Now, there was one throw where I'm like, it was almost a pick six. It was an interception. It was one of those things where he tried to push the ball into a tight spot. He telegraphed where he was going. That was one of five interceptions in 2018. So here's the deal. He has plutonium level potential, you know, and coaches hate that word potential, though, right?
Potential gets you fired.
Exactly, and that's what they say. Son, your potential can potentially get me fired, you know. But I think when you look at Jordan Love, he is a total package because he is a guy that could get you out of trouble, right? If things break down in the pocket, he could – the guy graduated from – like he came out of high school as a dual-threat quarterback. It's very clear that he has the ability – to extend plays, to buy time. The release that he has is really fast. He throws with pretty good anticipation. Watching him down there in Mobile, he was hitting deep passes consistently. He actually hooked up with another guy we're going to get into, Antonio Gandy-Golden. They were hooking up consistently. And I think Jordan Love would be a very intriguing player for the Titans to look at.
And this is something I want to clear up, because you and I, we even talked about this on Wednesday, and I read a headline on CBSSports.com where Darwin Thompson says he saw similarities between Jordan Love and Patrick Mahomes. And I was asking you about this earlier in the week, and I kind of, in my own brain, was like trying to put a comparison on Jordan Love so I could get a scope for his arm talent. And you gave me a really good one that I like a lot, that I think suits his game better and doesn't put this kind of crazy moniker on you.
Yeah, I think the comparison for me for Jordan Love is Deshaun Watson. And some of the things I just mentioned about Jordan Love are things that Deshaun Watson has proven himself to do within the league. I mean, he had no choice. That guy's running for his life every snap, right, with that offensive line. Very similar, very similar. And actually, that was a part of David Mulugeta. Shout out to Athletes First and David Mulugeta. Doing what he needed to do to get Jordan Love to be a client. He put him on the phone with Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think there are similarities there. So I could see that. You have to really look at the full picture with him. Like, you cannot look at last year. And, again, we're talking about a whole new coaching staff. We're talking about your top options being gone. I mean, they had 9 starters total from that team that moved on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember actually being at the combine, and I met the new OC that was coming in, and he was talking about Jordan Love, and, you know, he was really excited about him. It was just a different ball game, and I'm not making excuses, because some of the interceptions he had, like, you go watch that Wake Forest game, it was the head scratchers. The last interception, the one that actually cost them the game, is just like, bro, you know you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not going to say that he's above reproach from the interception side of things, but I think there's reasons for that. And it was a matter of pressing and trying to do too much. That's why I asked him that at the Senior Bowl, hey, how do you balance the two? You know, and he said that that's something that he is working on, not being as much of a risk taker with the football.
So what about some other players from down in Mobile? Because I know you got to see basically everybody down there, and there were a lot of guys with a lot of talent at the Senior Bowl. Who else stood out to you?
Yeah, Josh Uche from Michigan. You know, he and Bradley and I, those guys really did their thing in those practices. The tackles really struggled with them. They definitely stood out. I know Anai is on the Titans' radar. Josh Uche, he actually think Robert Mathis, like that type of smaller guy, right? But speed to power, just get off and just absolute vicious dog in him. You know what I mean? He's going to get to the quarterback. Those are two guys.
I'm just curious real quick, along the lines of those two guys, about where are they? I mean, it's hard to project this far out, but as far as you seeing their skill sets, are they? I mean, I don't think anyone's saying Bradley and I or Josh Uche are first round guys. Mm. So about how do they fall in the draft? What range can the Titans conceivably get them at?
Well, it depends, because you have some GMs like Joe Douglas with the Jets. Yeah. Production is huge for him. Production is big. So a guy like Bradley Anai is going to be higher on his board. We're talking about 30 and a half sacks.
That's a lot.
As a college player. You know what I mean? So he's going to be high. So it's going to vary, but I don't think third round is a stretch for Bradley Anai. Uche, I could see him in that same ballpark.
Okay.
But again, with this league having so many 3-4 teams, I could see him going higher. You always have a team. Like, remember Bruce Irvin, right, out of West Virginia? The Seahawks made him a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
You have teams that say, you know what, I don't give a daggone what was on other people's board. This is our guy. We're going to pick him.
Mm-hmm.
So Uche, bottom line, he gets after it.
Yeah.
So he's a guy I could see a team, air quotes, overdrafting, but getting a really huge return for that overdrafting.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about those guys. Marlon Davidson, that first day, that Tuesday, that first practice, I was really impressed with him working through the bag drills and, you know, doing some of the things, being able to corner, right, and come off that edge. That was impressive. But I want to talk a few receivers, right?
I had a feeling this is where the conversation was going to
go. Yeah, because Antonio Gandy-Golden AGG. He's out of Liberty, right? And usually when you have a guy out of Liberty, you know, you're talking about a prospect that's raw, right? Not just out of Liberty, but just not a D1, you know, in Alabama.
That's
cetera,
where Hugh Freeze was, right?
Hugh Freeze was there.
They'll throw the ball, yep.
They will throw the ball, but more importantly, Maurice Harris came with him. To tie this kind of to Nashville, to the Titans, A.J. Brown was one of the guys that Maurice Harris was pounding into Antonio AGG's hand, right? And he was using him to show him ways to confidently run through the catch and to catch the ball with your hands, to work releases. That's something – this guy is, what, 6'3", I want to say? Yes, actually, he's listed as 6'4", 220. I think he was more.
I was about to bring up his size next, is what that brings to you. It's 6'4", 220 is what I have.
I think he's more 6'3", 218, so we're splitting hairs there. But the releases, normally a bigger guy like that, you see him get jammed up at the line. I didn't see him get jammed up once in watching one-on-ones, and I focused on that.
So when you're talking about getting jammed up at the line, is that just like a foot speed or hand motion, or how much do those work in conjunction?
It's both, and that is a quarterback's best friend. They love a receiver that's not getting into all that chatter at the line of scrimmage, right? Get into your route. And it's a combination of foot speed, hands, but primarily it's just being able to redirect, right? And there were a couple times where he had to run inside, right, an in-breaking route, and there was a corner sitting on the inside in one-on-ones. And he did a good job giving that jab step to the outside, using the rip, and then getting into his route and running that slant or dig or whatever he had to run. So it's a combination of things. He's definitely someone I could see, because here's the thing. I don't think this team needs to invest a higher pick in a wide receiver, right?
Probably not.
If they were to do it, some guys we'll talk about in the next segment would be that direction to go. But I think Senior Bowl is awesome for what the Titans want to do, right? You mentioned Jennings. He's another one. I was really impressed with his footwork.
Juwan Jennings from Tennessee. Another guy who's a taller receiver. He's in the 6'4 range.
He moved really well. I watched him specifically on the box drills. And if you guys want to see that, it's on my Twitter timeline. You got to scroll back a little bit, but it's on there.
Search it.
You can search it too. He's someone, and they used him in the slot. Tajay Sharp, right? You talk about Tajay Sharp, the value he brings. It gives him a little bit of a bigger body in the slot. Well, Jennings will give you an even bigger body in the slot. Same thing with Colin Johnson out of Texas. He's another one. I was impressed with his footwork and what
Colin
he was
Johnson's
able to
about
do.
6'6".
He's
Colin
6'6".
Johnson, we talk about big receivers. Colin Johnson is another step up from that.
And they put him there and let him run that corner route, and he did a really nice job with it. You know, I saw him doing that. Devin DuVernay, you know, those are a couple guys. As far as defensive backs, just real quick to kind of get into some of those guys, Troy Pride Jr., you know, I was impressed with him. And every single rep, there were times he went against his teammate, Chase Claypool. Now, Troy Pride is 5'11", 6 feet, right? Claypool, we're talking about a 6'4", 230-pound monster.
Mm-hmm.
Took him on, red zone one-on-ones, you know, bodied him up, wouldn't let him route him or anything like that. He definitely was impressive. Dane Jackson, you know, I continue to mention him.
This is probably the fifth time I've heard you mention Dane Jackson.
I like him. I like him a lot. And we're going to get him on talking with TD. But with him, I just like the inside-out ability. And I like the feistiness that he brought to the table. Darnay Holmes out of UCLA, that guy's nice too. So those are a couple just to kind of pop around some different positions. Alex Taylor out of South Carolina State.
Another small school.
Hey, listen. Orlando Brown, like that type of size. This dude is 6'8", 6'9", 300-plus pounds. There were times where I'm talking about like right there watching these guys go at it. I'm getting excited just thinking about it. But there were times where I saw a 6'8", 6'9", man just sink his butt and just say, look, I don't care what you do. You're not getting past me.
I got these longer arms than you, and I'm big.
Right. 88-inch wingspan. You're sitting across the table. He could slap you from right here. You know what I'm saying? When you have that type of size and that athletic ability too. So he's another one. Matt Hennessy, you know, a guard slash center Look, he gets points for me because he had the Jordan cleats on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Big man with some swag. I love that. But he's a really good center, too.
All right, so coming up next here on Chase and TD, we've got to run to a break, but we'll keep the draft talk coming and relate it to the Titans, where they should be looking, what positions do they need to be looking at. This is Chase and TD on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to Chase and TD here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith, filling in for Chase McCabe this week. The intrepid, hardworking Ryan Porth on the board for us tonight. Thank you for doing the show, Ryan.
Anytime.
And then we have, of course, Teron Davenport here with me to my left, talking NFL draft, Tennessee Titans, how we see all this kind of shaking out and what Teron saw from the Senior Bowl, and then also prospects as a whole who can really fit with this Titans team. And when I kind of look at them, well, honestly, I see a bit of a hole at cornerback and edge rush, and I think those are the two positions that are getting the most love for the Titans throughout this draft process in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, those are the two positions that I think are going to absolutely have to be addressed, and I think they can address them, right? And I think wide receiver is another one that you know, will need to be addressed. So there are different things that they could do to get some guys that could come in and help out.
So in the last segment, we were kind of going around the Senior Bowl prospects you like. Then give me some guys who maybe you didn't see at the Senior Bowl, but definitely could be on anybody's radar as good players in general and for the Titans.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about edge guys, Ke'Lavon Chaisson is someone that, man.
Saw a lot of him with that LSU team.
If somehow, some way, that guy is on the board when the Titans pick, I would even say this. If he's on the board within five picks of when the Titans pick, they need to strongly consider moving up to get him. I think he's – and people are going to say, oh, well, he's not good against the run. He's decent against the run. But –
Stopping the run wasn't the Titans' problem, though.
Exactly.
I mean, you saw it against Kansas City. This team needs someone who goes, gets the quarterback.
Now, I will say this. There were times where you saw their edge guys not setting that edge. I will say that. But there were more times where you needed their edge guys. They need somebody that is going to dominate one-on-one, right? That's not going to be blocked. I think Chaisson is that guy. And you're talking about, like, he has a spin move, he has a cross chop, he has a rip, a swim. He has the full package, the full arsenal, that toolbox. So I think he's someone that would be really good to come in and help as far as an edge guy.
Yeah, and then another one I see getting a lot of love about the Titans, and really, really for the Titans in this spot they're picking at 29, I believe, is a guy named Yetur Gross-Matos out of Penn State, and someone who – you kind of talk about this guy, one of those physical freaks, 6'5", 265 pounds. In 2019, 9.5 sacks, 24 tackles. Someone who, honestly, I think I saw one report that the NFL wasn't as high as some draft people were on him. And a lot of love for the Titans and a lot of love on Titans Twitter.
Yeah, you're seeing that name linked to them a lot. And again, when you have these freaks, right, that come off the edge, it's obviously something that is going to be attractive. And I think there's more I want to see from him.
In what aspects?
I want to see more impactful plays.
Okay.
You know, and obviously box score wise, like he set it on fire. You know what I mean? But I want to see a guy that just comes in and absolutely dominates games. There were times where I remember watching Penn State, and I'm watching specifically to see him. I'm like, where is he? Me personally, if I'm a GM and I'm using the first round pick, I don't want to go through stretches of a game where I'm like, hey, where's so-and-so?
That's kind of the problem the Titans already have. I mean, Harold Landry, there were some games you saw Harold Landry, two sacks in on a lot, or even within game, Harold Landry gets after the quarterback. But then at times he kind of disappears. This is kind of a problem the Titans already have, and they're still looking to find someone who down in, down out is going to go and get after the quarterback.
And that's what you need. You need somebody that is going to be impactful over and over and over again. And that's why I think that they're going to need to go heavy on that in the draft as well as free agency. I'll say that at that position.
At edge?
at edge.
And then we talk about corners, and the Titans, they're in a position where Logan Ryan, it's still to be determined what's going to happen with Logan Ryan. It depends on how much money he thinks he wants, he needs, or his camp thinks. And then we talked about this. Philadelphia may be in the mix with him a little bit. Also, Logan Ryan's approaching 30 years old. Malcolm Butler hurt last season, big contract, and Adoree Jackson. The Titans have some decisions to make with their corners, but maybe the corners who, in if you look at the first round anyways, maybe Christian Fulton probably not going to fall. Maybe a guy like A.J. Terrell at Clemson gets to them, but is there a guy who they can go draft and then say, hey, okay, we have this guy as our corner, we can develop him while whatever happens with Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler?
Yeah, you know, Terrell is interesting. Because he struggled against those LSU receivers. But you know what? I'm sure Stingley and the other corners there, Fulton, I'm sure they struggled in practice against those. We're talking
that
about
was
some
the best
really
offense
solid,
maybe in college football
right.
history.
And just seeing those receivers themselves. You know, those are guys who are playing on Sunday.
Yeah.
Terrell, he struggled on this one day. Hey, there were days where Darrell Revis struggled, right, against Steve Johnson. Sometimes matchups just – that's what happens. I say that to say, I wonder how that game is going to impact his stock. But that's a guy, definitely. He's shown that he could press, and that's man.
He's about 6'2", right? So yeah, he's a bit longer.
He's long. He's long, but he could turn and run. And here's the thing, I don't evaluate players based off of school.
No.
But I will say this: there are certain schools, like you get a Michigan State corner, right? Rest assured, he's a guy that will probably have a little bit of struggle as far as holding and pass interference is concerned, because that's what they teach there. So there are certain traits that are going to happen. So I mentioned Terrell and Clemson. One of the things, Mackenzie Alexander, right? Name slips, Cordrea Tankersley.
Yes.
These are corners that they were taught to press. Rashard Breeland, you're going to see him on Sunday. He loves press coverage. You know what I mean? And that's something that they're asked to do there. So I like that fact, and that's something I think the Titans need to do more of. I don't know if they don't do it because they're not confident in the guys to play that press, man. They love to do a lot of cover too, right? And they'll use two man too. But I would like to see the Titans do more press. That's why I think Terrell would be a really good pick for them.
And it's pretty reasonable to think he could be there when they're picking in the first round. Then the question just becomes, is the first round too rich? But if you have a guy at a premium position, like I believe cornerback to be, mm-hmm. who can fit in what you want to do, you go do it. But another thing I think about with the Titans team is once you get into the third, fourth, fifth rounds, you're not obviously getting a big name prospect. You're drafting depth pieces. And I think about the Titans offensive line, because I listened to Jared and the GM a good bit, and something the GM always says, you can never have too many guards. I loved my guards. The Titans last year, they draft Nate Davis. This season, they re-signed Ben Jones to two more years. In terms of looking at the Titans offensive line, how much need did they have? Because they have to make a decision with Dennis Kelly. You'll mention David Quisenberry.
Yeah, I mean, again, you could always... Offensive line is one of those positions where you grab a guy, and if money permits, he'll be on your team for 10 years. And you get 10 years of consistent play. That's the beauty of offensive line. So, obviously, there are some guys, you know, that the Titans will need to look at. I don't see them making free agent signing because they're just not.
No.
Good offensive linemen typically don't hit the market, and when they do hit the market – it's usually because the team that they're leaving can't afford them.
And Dennis Kelly situations where you trade Dorial Green-Beckham and get Dennis Kelly are few and far between. Like that, the Titans won that one so large.
Yeah, I mean, they made out. But that's why in the last segment I mentioned Matt Hennessy.
Mm-hmm.
He would be an ideal guy to come in and give him depth at interior period.
Yeah.
Right? He could come in and be a swing guard for them, right? But then also – Ben Jones is a great dude. As Mike Vrabel said, he's the glue that held that offensive line together. But you know how things go, man.
He's getting up there in age.
The money, right? It's a two-year deal, right? You get a guy like Hennessy, he comes in and, again, it goes back to not evaluating based off of school, but knowing there are certain traits that come from different schools. You get a Temple kid, you guarantee you he loves football, guarantee you he is gritty, guarantee you he is tough. There's a reason why they have the saying Temple tough. Now, my Philly background, I'm going to be biased a bit, but those guys down there, if they play they play football for the love of football, because no one cares about Temple football. You see what I'm saying? Even right there on North Broad Street, they don't give a daggum about Temple football. So I think Hennessy is a guy that would definitely be of value if they went the interior route. I could see second, third round, him being someone they could go for.
All right, coming up next on Chase and TD, me and Teron, we're out here rocking. I know you came back a little bit. These segments are flying by quick. It's fun talking about the draft, and we will get to some mock drafts and how we see the Titans picking things in certain situations live on these airwaves. We'll get to that on the other side. This is Chase and TD on ESPN 102. Welcome back to Chase and TD here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, we're streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. I'm Calvin Smith filling in for Chase McCabe. We have Ryan Porth on the board and Teron Davenport to my left here on the program. We start off the show talking about Mike Vrabel, the Titans coaching situation. Mike Vrabel possibly, maybe likely, taking over the defensive side of the football for most of the aspects of the game plan. And then we got into the draft at 6:15, and we've been talking about where the Titans should be looking and some of the top prospects out there. And now, Teron, one of the great things about the internet is a lot of the websites that can come up that serve a lot of great, I guess you could say, niches. But then this website, the Draft Network, has a mock draft machine. So they put all the players in. They have really good analysts who put together the big boards. And then you can play the role of NFL GM and go through and do an actual mock draft and draft players pretty likely where they may or may not fall. We did that. We each did one. So we will exchange the results on that for the Tennessee Titans. And I want to hear who you got in the first round and who you might have picked over this person.
Yeah, first round, pick number 29. I watched the board fall and came close. Caleb Von Chase he was picked 7 picks ahead, but I went with Trevon Diggs. He's on the board at 29. You get a premier corner, a guy who you could put on that outside and give you length. He could play off man if you want. Probably a better press guy. Henry Ruggs III, when I talked to him, he told me that Diggs, you know, was one of the best that he faced. Said they went at it, you know, for the couple years they were together. So that's the guy I would take at that position. Now, at that spot, just based on what was available, going ahead of him, like if these guys were available, I think you absolutely, Ruggs absolutely has to be considered. I still think a guy like Chaseon, the Iowa edge guy also.
Epinesa.
I can never pronounce his name. Those are guys, but they're likely to be gone by the time that the Titans pick.
Well, it's funny because in my first round pick, the board fell and Grant Delp, the safety out of LSU, fell to me. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, there's no way I can't not pick Grant Delp. I mean, he was one of the best players in college football. But you look at the Titans draft last year, they pick Amani Hooker. They signed Kenny Vaccaro to a 4-year deal. He has 3 years left on that. And then obviously Kevin Byard is out there roaming free safety for the team for the next 4 years. Or 5 years, excuse me. And Trevon Diggs was on the board, and I also went with Trevon Diggs because you talk about just a fantastic athlete, someone who's 6'2", coming out of Alabama. That's where I would want to put a first-round pick if I'm the Titans, given the aging of two cornerbacks on the roster, the uncertainty with Logan Ryan and Adoree Jackson, not being a first round corner and not being shut down, but being a little bit uncertain about his future with the team.
Yeah, I mean, that guy being on the board, you almost have to take him.
Seems like too good of a fit almost. Who'd you go with in the second round?
Well, at pick 61, second round, I watched it. I went Bradley Anae, right? And we're talking about a guy who I said you could possibly get in the third round, but not the bottom half of the third round.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I felt that Anae is a guy that, again, the production is there. The toolbox, Vrabel likes those high motor type of guys too, those effort type of players. And that's what he is. I watched him for a week give none but effort, you know, in three practices. So that's where I went there. Now, second round, you know, a guy like a KJ Hamler, I think is definitely someone that the Titans should consider if he's there. He was going in this scenario, but I know that he's someone that will be on their radar. He's someone I think they should consider. But, you know, I think Anai is a good pick right there, the bottom half of the back end of the second round.
Yeah, it's interesting. You and I seem to be thinking pretty similarly. I didn't go with Bradley Anai because he was a bit further down, and I thought this guy gets there. Darrell Taylor out of Tennessee, one of those physical freaks. You saw him in big games against Alabama. He had a really good game. And Darrell Taylor, a good player from Tennessee, 6'4", 260 pounds. The Titans need an edge rusher. I think Darrell Taylor can fit in with this team, so I went with him.
I wouldn't see a problem with that. You know, you want those guys that bring it like that.
Fiery kind of player,
too. He showed up in a big game, like you said. So.
And then in the third round, this is where I think I did something a little bit that might be unorthodox for Calvin Smith. You guys might be surprised. I went with a running back. And you talked about – you and I have talked about Eno Benjamin before out of Arizona State. Mm-hmm. But this is a guy I think who could be underrated coming into the draft. Cam Akers out of Florida State. And he was a fantastic five-star recruit coming out of Mississippi. I remember following him up to his commitment to Florida State. This guy is a fantastic athlete. Played quarterback in high school in the state of Mississippi. But Florida State, their offensive line was so, so rough for his duration there. I mean, we saw the quarterback controversies they had. I'm not sure if Cam Akers really had enough of an opportunity at Florida State, especially playing against the ACC. So I would go with Cam Akers.
I like the pick. I'm surprised, like you say, you went running back there.
As a compliment to Derrick Henry.
Yeah, well,
because
he'll bring a different
skill set.
Of course, of course. For me, at that spot, I doubled down on edge guys. Ooh. And I went with Alex Highsmith out of Charlotte. Okay. And I'll read you this, right? That before Charlotte Dabo Swinney, here's his comments on Alex Highsmith. He's on all the great player lists. I kept watching him and going, holy cow, he looks like Xavier Thomas. He's physical, fast, disruptive. He's causing sacks and tips. Really, really good football player. That number five could play for anybody in the country. I watched him against MTSU, actually. And he had two sacks in that game, I want to say. It may have been three. But I watched him just continuously get after the quarterback. We're talking about a guy 6'4". Let's see his exact height. 242. So, obviously, he's a little bit light. But
you can add weight.
Size is not a skill. It's all about leverage. It's all about being able to, you know, speed to power. It's about having moves. And I think this is a guy that could come in and would really develop working with Shane Bowen, working with Mike Vrabel. I could see him. So third round, you're getting a highly productive player. He's an All-American. I definitely feel like he would be an awesome pick at that point.
So then what about the Titans don't have a fourth-round pick. Excuse me. They lost their fourth-round pick. So fifth round, Tennessee Titans.
Hey, you know, me and receivers, right? I talked about AGG, and that's Antonio Gandy-Golden. What better way for him to learn and break into the NFL than seeing firsthand the guy who he was shown videos of, and that's A.J. Brown, right, in college at Liberty, as I mentioned. That's who AGG told me that he was watching all the time. A.J. Brown, DK Metcalf, Laquon Treadwell. I think when you look at a guy like that, he's going to play special teams. He played special teams in the Senior Bowl game. Obviously, he didn't play that position, special teams, at Liberty because he was such a huge part of the offense. But the roster spot will be filled with a guy that could play receiver and also give you contributions at the special team. He is a guy, too, high point in the football. He's very good at that. So AGG, Antonio Gandy-Golden, at pick number 156.
So moving on here pretty quickly. In the fifth round, you and I were thinking pretty similarly here. I went Devin Duvernay out of Texas.
I like him a lot. He'll be a guest on the show, by the way.
I like guys who can run at the wide receiver position. So, of course, I go there. And how'd you finish out these last three rounds?
Okay, so the last three rounds, I talked about Alex Taylor. You get a huge guy like that, man. You can't coach size and athletic ability. He has both of them. South Carolina State at 188. 213, I kept it right here in Nashville. Hey, man, Kalijah Lipscomb. Nice. Come on in. Let's go. Catch everything with your hands like you do, and then also run those routes. I know you had quarterback issues at Vandy, but you'll be better here. And then I wrapped it up with Keith Ishmael, a guard out of San Diego State, and that's a guy who, when you come out of San Diego State, you know how to run blocks, so he'll give you depth there.
I finished it out, went with Tommy Kramer, offensive lineman out of Notre Dame. Can't go wrong with Notre Dame offensive lineman. Dane Jackson, your guy, the corner out of Pitt. Garrett Marino, the defensive lineman out of UAB. Now, coming up next on Chase and TD here, we'll talk about the Titans, their free agency situation. Who should they re-sign? Who should they bring back? We'll get to that on the other side. This is Chase and TD on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's a big season for the two-tone blue.
We don't let the pass do the talking.
It's time to break it all down with Chase McCabe and ESPN's Teron Davenport. This is Chase and TD.
It's time to go eat, baby.
On Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
And welcome back to Chase and TD here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. No Chase McCabe this week. Calvin Smith, this is, I think, my third week in a row here on Chase and TD.
That's right. But
we're still rocking and rolling. 7 o'clock on a Friday night. ESPN's Teron Davenport is with me. Thank you so much to Emery Hunt, who joined us at 6:15 and 6:30 today. If you missed any part of our draft coverage with Emery, don't worry. We've got you covered. Just go search Talking with TD, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. You can go find anything we've done here, be it Chasing TD or Talking with TD podcast. Everything you want for the draft, we will have it covered here, coming out of the ESPN 102.5 The Game Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com and Teron.
You could have whatever you like. Yeah.
Talking lots of Titans here tonight, and now we're going to get into this team and what they're facing in the free agency market. They're looking at having 22 players who could possibly not be on this roster next season. Now, obviously, some of those guys are going to come back. Some of them probably won't be back, given how much the NFL is a cap sport. They have a salary cap. You can't bring everybody back. It's not like baseball where you can just go and hand out money. So, Teron, when you look at this group that the Titans have as free agents, where does your mind go first that has to get taken care of?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually wrote about this, and it's something that I think really has to be addressed, because like you said, this is a team that has 22 free agents. Now, three of them are restricted free agents, three of them are exclusive rights free agents. We'll get into the difference between them in a second, but I think when you look at what's on the table for these guys, it's obvious that Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry have to be back. And, you know, I got caught up in the whole Tom Brady thing, and it's a sexy idea. Yeah. It is, right? It's something that, if you compare that with drafting a guy like Jordan Love or something like that, I mean, it makes sense. I could see it. But here's the problem, and here's why I'm coming off of that. I thought Jordan Love would be there for the Titans when they pick at the end of the round. I don't think he gets past the Colts.
How far up would they have to trade? The Colts are at what? Pick
13.
13.
Or 4. Yeah, 13,
like
I think
that.
It is. They would have to move up. Now, moving up 16 to 20 draft slots is going to cost you some money. And here's why I'm so bullish on the Colts drafting Jordan Love. I was in Mobile on the sideline standing next to Frank Wright. And I heard that kind of stuff.
As Jordan Love jogs off the field, Frank Reich's eyes just, they keep going that way.
Hey, man, he was on him like a hawk. So I say all that to say, I still feel that Ryan Tannehill is I'm not going to say a question mark. I'm not going to say that. I still feel that there are some concerns about him reverting back to some of the things that he did. But, man, there's a lot of good stuff that he did for this team. And just as a player, period, right? Mm-hmm. 2 to 3 big plays per game. That drive, I'm going to tell you what made me a believer in Ryan Tannehill. That drive against the Chiefs in Week 10.
Yep.
When he told them, hey, we're going to go out and score. And my goodness, that's what they went out and did.
And they'd ran the ball the whole game. I mean, it wasn't like Tannehill had been doing it all day, like he had this great read on the Chiefs secondary or something. I mean, at that point, he'd only had like 15 passes, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, and when it was time to turn it on, that's exactly what he did. And I like that about a player that can – and that's what you want in a quarterback. Yeah, it's great to have a guy that, you know, passes for a $150 in the first half and it gives you another $250 in the second. But I want that guy that no matter what, when the stuff hits the fan and it's time to turn it up to another notch, he does it. And that's what Tannehill did.
My question then goes to, so you have Ryan Tannehill. You're probably going to have to play the game in the quarterback market and sign him probably to a fair amount of money, something around $25, $27 million.
Yeah.
But you look at him as a bridge quarterback. He's probably not going to be the quarterback of this team in 4 years or so. So you see a guy like Jordan Love, someone who could probably benefit a lot from sitting for a season, or if you want to talk about the second or third round, maybe there's a Jacob Eason or something like that. Quarterbacks who might really benefit from sitting. Would you still draft a quarterback even if you still sign Ryan Tannehill and let that guy sit behind a veteran and someone who looks like a good leader in Ryan Tannehill?
I'm not drafting a quarterback in the first round unless like somehow, some way, Jordan Love, Justin Herbert, those type of guys mm-hmm. fall to you. Then it's like, okay, well, you know what? We got to get the best player available. And I think, you know, at that point, they would be among them. But see, here's the thing. You have to look at money, because we're about to get into some other free agents, right? So if you draft a quarterback in the first round, you're going to have to pay that guy a good amount of money. And then on top of that, if Tannehill re-signs, I would say he would be around for another 2 to 3 years. So you're going to have that quarterback taking up money, but just sitting on the roster, not really contributing on the field on Sundays, Saturdays late in the year, Thursdays and Mondays. So I wouldn't draft a quarterback if Ryan Tannehill is the guy. Now, if you're going third, fourth round, you know, Alex Gordon out of Washington State, who will mm-hmm. be a guest on Talking yep. with TD. I was talking to his agent yesterday, and we're going to have him. But that's someone you could look at, right? You could look at, you know, Tyler Huntley. You could look at those type of players. So I would hold off if Tannehill is going to be the guy.
So then when we're talking about Titans free agents, the first tier who everybody's going to talk about, Tannehill, Derrick Henry. But then you get below that, Jack Conklin and Logan Ryan. Logan Ryan, obviously a leader on the defense. And then Jack Conklin, a guy who's been your right tackle for a while and has done some pretty good things in your uniform. The Titans have about $50 million in cap space, so someone may have to be a cap casualty. Rosters turn over all the time in the NFL. When you look at this, how I'm labeling them as kind of the second tier of guys to re-sign for the Titans, how do you decide between Conklin and Logan Ryan?
Well, I'll say this. Jack Conklin, in my opinion, is in that first tier of player that you have to sign.
Okay.
And that is a change from 3 to 4 weeks ago. But when you sit down and think about it, continuity along the offensive line is crucial. There isn't a group of players in sports, period. Maybe the pitcher and catcher, the battery there.
Yeah.
But we're talking about two guys. Offensive line, we're talking about five.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a group of players that are so intertwined and are so mandatory to have time together. You saw it as the season wore on. Once Luan came back, and once Nate Davis began to get himself ingratiated into the pro level, once Roger Saffold began to settle in, Ben Jones, as Mike Vrabel said, the glue all along. So my thing is this. Jack Conklin has to be back. I know it's going to be expensive, but that's where some of these cap cuts may have to happen, because you have needs and you have wants. You need to have the offensive. You're going to bring Derrick Henry back. You're going to bring Tannehill back. You need to have that offensive line at top tier, peak optimum operating level. So Conklin, to me, as much as I like Logan Ryan, as much as I feel he's important to the defense, Conklin elevates into that top tier.
Because there's not going to be a way you can replace Jack Conklin. Like, you can't draft somebody, and it's right tackle isn't that kind of plug and play position in the NFL where you can come in and, like, if you're a wide receiver, you're fast. At the very least, we know this guy can run fast. Right tackle is a little bit different in terms of working with that whole offensive line, but you said it'll be expensive.
Yeah.
How expensive is a right tackle given Lane Johnson just reset the market at, what was that, $16 million a year?
Yeah, I think 65 total.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I'm gonna kind of drop a bombshell, but I don't think you could find me three offensive linemen better than Lane Johnson.
I certainly wouldn't disagree.
I have seen Lane Johnson take on the likes of Khalil Mack, Demarcus Lawrence, mm-hmm. and a few others. There was a streak where he had a murderer's row of defensive ends. Calvin, none of them got a sack. At least not against him.
Yeah.
I've seen this guy, Lane Johnson, pull and haul tail down the field and dig out a safety, not a linebacker, a safety. Similar to how you see Corey Davis doing that, you know, for A.J. Brown.
Yeah. He wears the dog mask for a reason.
If you check his DNA, I guarantee there's Rottweiler or something in there. He has that somewhere. I'm a big fan of Lane Johnson. So I'll say this. Lane Johnson and Jack Conklin, they're two different players. That's no slight on Jack Conklin, because Jack Conklin is a very good player. I don't think that he could approach that Lane Johnson money, but still you could pay that man in a way that appreciates what he brings to the table. $13 to $14 million, I think, is reasonable. Drew Rosenhaus is not one of those agents where he has to say, my guy is the best. Drew, his work speaks for itself, right? And I don't think it's different from, you know, some of these other agents who don't have a lot of guys who need to have on record, I got the top guy paid at this position. So I think that's something that could kind of, you know, factor in. And then even I remember, what was it, in Baltimore, I think it was? New England. Old Drew Rosenhaus and John Robinson were having a powwow. And I'm sure that had a lot to do with old Jack Conklin. So I think that situation is going to work itself out.
So then when you walk down this Titans roster, we've hit on the biggest names. Who else is on this roster that may not be back next season or that is a depth piece that needs to be back?
Well, there's a rumor coming out of Philly that Logan Ryan is going to be on the target list for the Eagles.
Philly needs some corners.
Especially a guy that could play the slot, exactly. That could bring stability to the position. So I could see that happening, you know. I don't think Logan Ryan wants to leave this team, but the financials may not permit it. Now, here's the thing. Really what it's going to come down to is, okay, does this team want to pay Logan Ryan and release Malcolm Butler? Because now Butler will cost about $6 million against the cap, but I don't think they cannot afford to have two $10-plus million guys at the cornerback position on this roster. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into draft a little bit later. So that's where that comes into play. Dennis Kelly, I think he's someone that they absolutely have to consider. It just depends on the money and whether or not he feels he could go somewhere else and start, because he's the ultimate swing guy for them.
At this point in Dennis Kelly's career, I'm not viewing him in that light where he's the kind of guy who's going to go get that starting job elsewhere for what would be substantially more money than he'd get here in a situation where he's really thrived.
Yeah, he has thrived. Now, here's the deal. If Dennis Kelly becomes too expensive, David Quesenberry, I think, could definitely – and that's my guy, man, DQ, good people, really good people, man. Talked to his family when I did an article about him. But he's the guy that could come in and fill that role. So looking at some of the other guys, obviously, you know, Mariota – God bless him. He's going to go somewhere, and I think he's going to eventually get things back on track. Wesley Woodyard's another name. Now, with Ty McKenzie, Coach McKenzie not being there, Coach Ty, they're going to have to address that linebacker position, right?
Yes.
They're going to need to get a guy in there that could, you know, give them depth. But they're going to need to get a guy to coach them that could, you know, mix everything together. Wesley Woodyard played a key role in that. His locker room presence is something. What did Dean Pease say?
Glowed about it.
Exactly.
Said to the highest degree Dean Pease has ever seen in his career.
Exactly. 47 years coaching. No player he respects more than Wesley Woodyard. But at 34 years old, I'm not sure if he's going to be back. Same could be said for Darren Bates, right? So that magnifies the need to go inside linebacker. I got a guy we're going to have on talking with TD. We'll mention him later that could come in and help out there. Chris Milton, I think they're going to go on. Kamale Correa, he's the guy I think they definitely need to bring back as well.
He came on so strong at the end of the year.
Six of the last eight games he played, he had a sack.
Yep.
He was the one that got home against Mahomes on the AFC Championship game.
He was all in Lamar Jackson's face.
Yeah, for sure. And that, man, I know that was a special game to him. So just to kind of breeze through it, Austin Johnson, I don't think that they retain him, even though he showed flashes. Tremaine Brock, ended up being a starter, a consistent starter. That's when I could see them bringing him back. Possibly, but that's going to depend on what happens with Logan Ryan and what happens with the draft. Flewellen, hey, listen, David Flewellen is going to be gone. I think Darius Jennings will also be gone. Michael Pruitt is an interesting one because that's a guy that Mike Vrabel really is fond of. Right?
He used him in a specific role.
And he used him in that specific role. I think Kari Blassingame, you know, how that works out, you know, that may negate some of Pruitt, his importance to the roster. Got another tight end that's going to be on talking with TD that we can mention also. Tyze Sharpe, I think he's going to be – I think it's tough with him because he doesn't give you the special teams. He's going to be a veteran, so, you know, he's going to warrant a little bit more money. But the fact of the matter is he could play slot. He could play outside. One of your most versatile receivers. Of course, A.J. Brown could do that too. But I think – and Tajay, you have a guy that could start. You have a guy that the quarterback clearly trusts. LaShawn Sims, I think that's going to be at 26 years old. That's going to really depend on the money part. Also, it's going to depend on what they do with Ty Smith. I think Ty Smith is back just because his role on special teams. And it seemed like he elevated above LaShawn Sims as far as the depth chart is concerned. Reggie Gilbert's an interesting one. He wasn't active, in like the last three games. So I
forgot he was there.
Basically. So I think they'll move on from him. Cam Batson's another one. That's another one of Vrabel's guys.
I'm going to like anybody who can bring you that kind of speed,
yeah.
Even if it's someone who's not an every down player, someone who can, if you put him on the field, the defense has to at least do a little bit of thinking twice.
Yeah.
If Cam Batson's at a pretty affordable price after being injured last season, I would like that person.
And he's going to be affordable. You know, he's going to be affordable. And he obviously gives you punt return. I think he and Khalif Raymond could serve a similar purpose. It wouldn't hurt to have both of those guys on the roster. And then we're going to finish it up with those sticky fingers. You know, Anthony Firkser. Anthony Firkser is an example. And same with Cam Batson. So Reggie Gilbert, Firkser, and Batson, these are all exclusive rights free agents. So what does that mean, right? You see ERFA, you say, well, what the heck does that mean? Well, what it means is they could offer him a one year deal at the minimum for the amount of accrued seasons that these guys have. So it's going to vary, right? Because, you know, Gilbert's going to have more years than Batson, Firkser as well. So it's going to vary, but that's how that one works. Then when you talk about restricted free agents, right? We have, there's three on the list. Flewellen, I don't think he's going to be around. Darius Jennings, again, we spoke about that. And Ty Smith. So let's say the Ravens come in and say, hey, you know, we want Ty Smith to be one of our corners. Jimmy Smith is moving on. We want Ty Smith. So if that happens, the Titans can place a tender. And this is what happened with what was the receiver from the Browns that we were – Rashad Higgins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There was a second-round tender placed on him. So if anyone were to sign Rashad Higgins, or in this case, if they put a second-round tender on Ty Smith, anyone that were to sign him would have to give the Titans a second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
But if no one signs him, guess what? The Titans have to give him, you know, a contract that, you know, there's each round tender has a certain contract
reflects
value.
The value of the second
exactly,
round.
Exactly. So there's a gift and a curse with it, but it is something that they could do with those restricted. So, again, there's three restricted free agents, three exclusive rights free agents. The rest are just, hey, dude, come one, come all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's that situation. So that's pretty much the free agency look.
So a guy whose contract isn't over, but there is an out in Deion Lewis's contract, right, where he could not be on the roster next season and there wouldn't be that big of a cap hit. Do you see Deion Lewis on the roster? Because
no.
Honestly, no. I really don't. Because
you could get Deion Lewis in the draft and Eno Benjamin.
Which
you
is
know,
third, fourth
cheaper,
round.
Fourth, fifth, probably.
There you go.
Yeah, so Deion Lewis, I think it's unlikely that Delanie Walker will be back. Those are a couple that pop out. Those are the big ones, you know. And, again, going back to Logan Ryan, if they go that direction, I could see Malcolm Butler not being back. But, you know, that's if they go that direction.
All right, we just went a long time on the Titans free agency situation. And coming up next here on Chase and TD, we'll get into who's out there on the open market that the Titans could go and look at, maybe pursue and add to this team based on the guys they lose. We'll get into that next here on Chase and TD on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm not trying to show the module show, but when it's on, when it's on, then it's on. And welcome back to Chase and TD here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Calvin Smith, no Chase McCabe. He's on a little bit of a vacation here as we approach Super Bowl Sunday. Teron Davenport beside me, rocking and rolling. Last segment, we talked about the Tennessee Titans and their roster, who we could expect to see on the team next year or who could be a cap casualty and be gone. But there are 31 other teams in the NFL in the same position, Teron. And I'm curious first, what positions are the biggest of need for this team? Because there's obviously a way you can address that in the draft, or you can go pay a little bit more money and get someone who is probably a little bit more ready to play in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I think they need to look at two things. And I honestly feel this way almost regardless of what happens in the draft. I feel like they need to look at cornerback. And again, that it's kind of dictated by what happens with free agency, right? We mentioned LeSean Sims, Ty Smith, obviously Logan Ryan, and the possible exit of Malcolm Butler to keep Logan Ryan or Adoree Jackson, right? In a couple years, they're going to have a decision to make on Adoree Jackson. They'll have a decision in April, you know, whether or not they keep the fifth-year option for him, mm-hmm. right? So I really feel that cornerback is a position they need to look at.
So then when you go and look at some of the cornerbacks out there who have contracts expiring, obviously this doesn't mean they will hit the open market, but there are a couple big names. I mean, Chris Harris, Jimmy Smith, Logan Ryan, Bradley Roby, Aqib Talib, Ronald Darby. Not all of those guys will make it to the market, but is there anybody out there, as you talk about corners, who could get out there and then be in the Titans' price range?
Yeah, honestly, I really feel if this team does not bring back Logan Ryan, I think Mackenzie Alexander should absolutely be a target. Now,
out of Minnesota, right?
Out of Minnesota.
Former Clemson DB.
Yeah, former Clemson DB. I was shocked that he was drafted in the second round. I felt that he was a first-round talent. However, he was drafted in the second round, 26 years old. But the thing is, he gives you that dog at the nickel spot.
He's a feisty guy. He was like that at Clemson.
He was like that at Clemson. And it's funny, I mentioned he gives you that dog. I remember at the combine, I asked him specifically. I was like, man, you play with a lot of emotion in watching you. It was very clear you love football. How would you explain the dog that you have in you? And that guy went into detail about how after losses, he's so mad he doesn't even go to the shower. He goes right to the film room. You can look it up. It's on Twitter. I look up Mackenzie Alex, or excuse me, on the internet. Google Mackenzie Alexander comments at the combine. And I say all that to say he is that guy that will give you effort against the run, right? He will give you solid coverage. Not outstanding, but solid coverage.
And that's a lot of what Logan Ryan did in this Titans defense.
Yeah,
that's what you give him the most credit for, is all of the running he did to go pursue.
But more importantly, he also gives you a guy that you could send. If I know Dean Pease is gone, But they talk about, Mike Vrabel talks about continuity. If he's calling the shots like I believe he's going to be, you're going to see the nickel back, the nickel corner get sent. 2 years ago, 2018, Mackenzie Alexander had 4 sacks. He had 10 pass breakups, right? So he's going to give you solid play out of the nickel spot. He's not going to be expensive. That's why he's a guy I would definitely look at.
And so, I mean, along those Logan Ryan, Mackenzie Alexander veins, I mean, from how you're describing it and from what I know of Mackenzie Alexander, I wouldn't say they have the same personalities, but you're getting a pretty similar player is what you're getting at here. And from rushing the passer, I mean, we know Logan Ryan did that. What, he led all DBs with sacks, right, this season and last season?
Yeah. Yeah, and then, Logan has been, I think, going back to 17, he's had more sacks than any DB.
So that comparison works out pretty well. And then another well-noted position where we saw it against the Kansas City Chiefs when the Titans lost. The Titans need someone who can get to the quarterback. Just go do it. That's all you got to do, because Harold Landry had a good year but was still up and down a little bit. You wonder if he's going to be the Javon Curse or whatever name you want to put out there, not to put that on Harold Landry, but the dynamite pass rusher you need. In free agency, there could be some guys out there. Jadeveon Clowney is an unrestricted free agent, even though we don't know if he will be hitting the open market and leaving Seattle. But Dante Fowler types will be out there. Dante Fowler is somebody who probably does make it to the open market.
Yeah, yeah. Two other corners real quick. I just wanted to pop back in there really quick. Jason Verrett, if he could stay healthy, he's an outstanding talent. But I tell you a name that it's going to cost a little bit, not premier money, but Kendall Fuller. He's going to be a free agent.
Former first-round pick.
Was he a first-round? I think he might have been a second-round pick.
I'll look it up real quick.
His brother, Kyle, was a first-round pick. But Kendall Fuller is a talented player also. He gives you another nickel. Verrett can do the same thing. But getting back to what you said about the edge guys, right? And when you talk about Dante Fowler, definitely someone that I would consider. In fact, I'm doing a post. It's going to be on ESPN.com. You'll see that on Tuesday. And it's looking at the edge, the outside linebacker / DN position. And Fowler is definitely on there. But here's my thing. There's some risk with Fowler, in my opinion, right? It was this past year's the money year for him. This past year is when he had his best season, 12 sacks, right? 16 QB hits. I like the match as far as being a guy that played in, you know, a 3-4 multiple front that Wade Phillips used. So I definitely think it's a match. I wonder what the money is going to be, especially after having 12 sacks. There's risk versus reward there.
So when you talk about premier edge guys, they're going to cost you a lot of money. Where does Dante Fowler fall in that equation then?
I think he's second tier. I put him right there. And I tell you, if he can stay healthy.
I mean, we saw his first year, he lost his whole first season.
Yeah, but the guy I'm saying, if he could stay healthy, Marcus Golden, in my opinion, is a better, because there's more consistency. And Marcus Golden, coming out of Mizzou, I remember – I talked to him at the combine too, man. I remember shaking his hand, that Joker's hands, man.
Like, he engulfed you. I mean, you don't even have small hands.
Yeah, and it was just his hands were thick. Like, you could feel like, wow, man, this guy, he puts hands on the offensive lineman, they feel it. So he's someone I think, and that was when I was curious about James Betcher coming here. I thought that Betcher and Marcus Golden, that's like a buy one, get one free. You know, because Golden had his best years under Betcher. But Betcher's not going to be here. But I think there's still room for a guy like Golden.
So then going in a bit different direction here, it was reported this week the Los Angeles Chargers moving on from Phillip Rivers. Let's say the Titans and Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill's asking for way too much money or something along those lines. Is Phillip Rivers even close to consideration for you? Because I don't really think along that vein for this team.
No. Phillip Rivers, he has always been one of my favorite quarterbacks. I love his fire. I love his moxie.
He's a funny dude out there.
Yeah, and I love how he talks trash and pushes the ball down the field.
And never swears out there either.
Never swears. We have that in common. The problem is the talent that he has left doesn't match the moxie and the risk-taking that is just not going to be taken out of him. And as a result, you're seeing these turnovers. So, no, I wouldn't go that direction. Again, I think Tannehill absolutely has to be the guy for this team.
So there's a pretty big game on Sunday. Super Bowl, Chiefs, 49ers. We'll get into that a little bit coming up here on the other side. This is Chase and TD on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You need to get up, get out. This is Chase and TD here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe is out. Calvin Smith back in for my third week in a row here on the show, rocking with ESPN NFL Nation, Tennessee Titans reporter Teron Davenport here on
the show. The show doesn't stop for one pony.
Never stops. It hasn't stopped in the Titans season. Talking with TD, the podcast, basically, edition of this show has been going on for over a year now, every single week straight.
That's right. It's what we do, man. Never stop recording.
No rest for the wicked. Exactly. And if you ever want to hear something from the upcoming draft coverage on Talking with TD, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts, me and Teron have you covered. Now, there's a pretty big game this weekend. The Super Bowl, the Chiefs, the team who beat the Tennessee Titans in the AFC Championship game, squaring off against the San Francisco 49ers. And Teron, let me tell you, this is the perfect matchup. Like, I love this because you get a team who's going to throw the ball with the best quarterback in football, and you looked on the other side of the field, and the San Francisco 49ers will go get after the quarterback, and they have a guy like Richard Sherman on the other side of the ball who is a well-known future Hall of Fame corner. It just makes for perfect television when you see strength on strength like that on the grandest stage in United States sports.
Yeah, it's awesome. I would love to have been down there, right, for the Titans to go. But I think it's really great that a guy like Patrick Mahomes is showcased on this platform.
And Andy Reid for him.
And yeah, you know, Andy Reid, it's good to see him get that opportunity. I am not the most fond. I'm not the most fond person of Andy Reid, but you know, it is what it is. It's definitely good to see him get that opportunity. Hopefully he wins it, you know, for his sake and for Mahomes' sake, obviously for all of Kansas City's sake. But you're right. This is a matchup that there's so much strength against strength. And the Titans game showed it. You absolutely have to get after Patrick Mahomes with the front four, because the way if the 49ers want to win this game, they have to get Joey Bosa has to go off, Eric Armstead has to go off, Brent Buckner, you know, he has to go off.
They drafted those guys highly for a
they
reason.
They drafted those guys highly and traded a second round pick and used a big contract on D Ford. They have to go off. So really what it boils down to, and it's funny because you almost find yourself saying this every week, hey, you got to get pressure on the interior and you got to, you know, layer it, tear it with the outs. It's what you have to do, right? Because you need to keep that quarterback in the pocket. But the thing is, Mahomes is so good at moving within the pocket and finding additional arm angles. So I'll say this, you got Buckner and you got Armstead. These are two 6'7" guys.
Huge.
They have to understand when they're not getting home. Put your hands up. Put your hands up and clog those passing lanes and make him have to use those other arm angles. He does it really well, but it's not the same when he throws sidearm as it is when he throws the regular motion, the regular mechanics. So I think if the 49ers are going to win, they have to, absolutely have to get pressure, and they can't allow him to squirt out of the backfield the way he did, especially on that touchdown run that he had. Yep. That was really – that's what broke the Titans back.
Yep.
That right there. They couldn't come back from it. And then he just continued to find ways to buy time. And that's why they have to get home because, look, man, you got Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, Travis Kelce, crazy route running. We talked about that. We drew it up. And then you got Tyreek Hill, right? So between with that group, oh, and Mecole Hardman, with that group.
Mecole Hardman, the most yards after catch in the NFL this season.
Hey, he had a 65-yarder against the Titans.
We saw it in Nissan Stadium.
He put those get somewhere shoes on, and he was gone. So when you have those guys, that gives and Andy Reid a very creative play caller, and Patrick Mahomes, a guy who could throw the ball anywhere. You know, if you want him to throw it up in the stands, he'll throw it up in the stands.
Over the stadium, like you've seen on Twitter.
Yeah. So they have the ability to stretch every single – they stretch you horizontally, they stretch you vertically. So for that reason, you got to have seven guys in coverage, right? I think they have to get to Mahomes in order to win because they're not going to be able to cover – all of those weapons in the vertical routes as well as the horizontal ones.
So what do you consider a good day against the Chiefs offense? Because I look at it and I think, okay, like let's say the 49ers defense does their thing. They have a good day. Does that mean you're holding Kansas City to 24, 27 points, something like that?
27 points, 28 points, under 30. You had an awesome day.
So that means Jimmy Garoppolo still has to go have a big day himself, or Raheem Mostert has to go absolutely wild like he did in the NFC Championship, or do something like what Derrick Henry did. But even right. in that case, Jimmy Garoppolo still has to go prove he's the guy who deserves the contract he got and go be a Super Bowl MVP against the best quarterback in the NFL.
Offensively for the 49ers to win, first and foremost, they have to run the football, right? Tevin Coleman is going to be healthy. That's a major thing for them. Raheem Mostert, that guy in that outside zone.
They're so fast, all of their backs.
Mostert is different fast, though, right? You get him that stretch play and that type of thing, and if he gets to that alley, he's going to get you some yards. So that's huge. Within that, George Kittle, the best blocking tight end in the league, you know, that's huge for them, too. And then that offensive line, you talk about investing – I mean, they have a first-round pick in Mike McGlinchey, a right tackle. They have a former first-round pick. I mean, Joe Staley's probably like 96. I don't know how old he is. No, but all jokes aside, I mean, he came into the league, I think in 08, I want to say. Mm-hmm. He and Patrick Willis came into the league together.
Yeah.
Patrick Willis has been retired for 5 years. You see what I'm saying?
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, he should have been in the Hall of Fame. You know, he's eligible for the Hall. You're going to put Brian Urlacher in, you darn sure need to put Patrick Willis in. We could do a whole show about that. I'm huge on Patrick Willis. But anyway, they came in together. So that lets you know Joe Staley's been there for a while. So offensive line is big. They're fast. And that's what helps them be able to do the things that they can in the rushing game. So I think really it starts with the run game. And a lot of it just plays off of that. Kyle Shanahan has done some really good things as
he's
far as –
he's creative with how he's running the football.
Exactly.
They find different ways to do it every week.
Different ways to do it. And the thing I like about him is they do it at times where they kind of catch teams on off guard, you know. And that's something that's really good. And they dedicate to running the football. And then they'll work off of that.
So then – pick it, because how I view this, I think the 49ers defense is going to be able to at least do their job against the Chiefs. But at the end of the day, I find a hard time betting against what Patrick Mahomes is doing right now.
Yeah.
And how he is legitimately the best quarterback in football and one of the most fun players to watch. Therefore, I have the Chiefs in like a 28-24 kind of game.
Yeah, well, I mean, Mahomes, in my opinion, is why the Chiefs can win. Him alone.
Yes.
Offensively, you know, Chris Jones, I think, is why the Chiefs could win from a defensive perspective. I'm going 34-21. I don't see how the Chiefs don't score 30 points.
Okay,
they're going to score at least 30. There's just too much firepower and too much. You talk about Shanahan being creative. Hey, look, Andy Reid's creative too.
Eric Bieniemy too.
Bingo.
Two really good offensive minds.
Everybody says that Andy Reid calls all the plays.
No.
There's a lot of film out there of Eric Bieniemy calling. I remember watching that daggone Eric Bieniemy back in the day playing, but he played for the Chargers and before that, you know, running back for Colorado. So it's pretty cool seeing him do what he's doing. But yeah, you're right. Those two guys together are definitely a major thing for that Chiefs team.
I just kind of wonder, there was a lot of talk surrounding Eric Bieniemy and the head coaching thing. Yeah. I wonder if he sits there and thinks, man, I should get one of these GOAT jobs. I'm going to prove it in the Super Bowl. If that just gives him that tiny bit of, not that you need extra fire going into a Super Bowl, but that's in the back of his mind. And just, I mean, it makes him work instead of 15 hours in a day, 17 or something crazy like that.
I'll tell you what I could see happening. What more does Andy Reid have to do if he wins a Super Bowl?
I wouldn't be surprised if he retired, honestly.
Bingo. Bingo. And what falls into the Chiefs' lap?
Oh, that's exactly what they do, huh?
I could see that
the
happening.
The enemy takes over. Okay.
The enemy takes over. So I could see that happening.
And you couldn't imagine a better scenario if you're Eric Bieniemy taking that over? Oh, gosh.
Not at all. That would be sweet for him. As far as players to watch, real quick, I'll say this, right? A.J. Brown, awesome. Rookie, offensive rookie of the year. We'll get into that later. Debo Samuel, though. You see a lot of the things that Arthur Smith did with A.J. Brown. Shanahan is doing even more with Debo Samuel. Jet
Another
sweeps.
Second round pick.
End of rounds, right. Just getting him the football in space. Just getting it in his hands quickly and letting him be a playmaker. So he's a key player for me. I think he's a matchup problem for the Chiefs. Kittle. We talk about Travis Kelce putting his sauce on the routes and doing what he does. Kittle is going to run his route. If you're in the way, he's going to move you. If you know, and then you try to tackle him, he's going to – that run against the Saints, ridiculous, man. The catch and run he had late in the game, he is a violent football player and a very determined football player. He trained right here in Nashville, by the way. You
he's
know
a Predators
I mean?
Fan.
Yeah. Oh, hey, listen, that's even more reason to like him. But I think those are two players to watch for the 49ers. D Ford also. This is a revenge game, right?
I mean, everybody Clark, knows he lined up offsides.
And Frank Clark mentioned that after they went to the Super Bowl, after the Titans game. That guy, Frank Clark, likes to talk. So
he's not
Frank
afraid
Clark
of anybody.
And D Ford, those are players to watch defensively. Yeah. I think, you know, another player to watch is Matthew. I think Tyrann Matthew is going to have an outstanding game. I think he's going to put his hat in the ring for MVP of the game. I think he's going to make a huge play on defense that's going to really factor into the win for the Chiefs.
Well, someone like the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, I mean, you saw it in college. Mm-hmm. You've seen him do it in this league before. And I feel like if you're betting on somebody to be a defensive MVP, my first thought goes to Richard Sherman. But Tyrann Mathieu's right there because Sherman, with how he could be in line to make a few big plays, get some picks, Tyrann Mathieu's right there.
Yeah, I see. For me, Matthew, I would say more as a safety, right? No matter what, you got to come see him.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And he'll play the run.
You got to come because he will play the run. I got to say it, too. Daniel Sorensen, man.
Yeah, 49?
Hey, I'm a Sorensen fan now. Seeing that guy tackle, you know. So, yeah, I think, but real talk, Chris Jones, Frank Clark, and Tyrann Mathieu are players to watch for me.
All right, coming up next here on Chase and TD, we will close out the show, getting back to the Senior Bowl a little bit. We'll talk about the Mac Daddy of the Week and A.J. Brown, Offensive Rookie of the Year. We'll get into that just a little bit as we close out the show. This is Chase and TD on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Who's the Mac Daddy?
Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy, Mac Daddy, Mac
you hear the music. It's that time of week. Every Friday at 7:45, we talk about the Mac Daddy of the Week. And Teron, you were down at the Senior Bowl. You saw the whole thing, and you were impressed by some players, but who takes away your Mac Daddy title of the week from the Seniors Bowl?
I'm going with Nashville's finest, man. The son of a coach.
I know where you're going
here. Van Jefferson, man. He is the Mac Daddy of the Senior Bowl week. He had an outstanding week, and it started right from the jump. Jefferson and one-on-ones, boy. Whew. I'm talking about surgical route running. Caught everything with his hands. He and UCLA corner Darnay Holmes, boy, those guys were going at it. Going at it, man. He won the majority of the reps, and he let him know. He has pit bull in him. He has dog in him. And he's my Mac Daddy of the week.
So when we talk about the Senior Bowl, the draft coming up, a lot more is coming, talking with TD Wise, the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these guys you hear about, we'll be able to get on Talking with TD. Last year, what was it, 4 of the guys the Titans drafted were on the show.
Yep.
So if you want to keep up with the Titans draft coverage, Talking with TD, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find your podcasts, subscribe, give it a rating, stay up to date, and maybe get a little bit of a peek about what's coming.
Yeah, I mean, we got Jordan Love coming in the next month or so. Joshua Kelly, UCLA running back. Josh Uche, we have some guys coming.
Already had Henry Ruggs on the last episode. If you want to go hear from one of the top receivers in this class, go give it a listen. That guy is a speed demon.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely check that one out. We'll have Van Jefferson on, Devin DuVernay, Colin Johnson. I mean, there's a lot of names that we were able to get. Like I said, I'm working on Jalen Hurts. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen.
That's a big one.
Bradley Anae, Alton Robinson.
A favorite guy from the Senior Bowl,
yeah,
Bradley
Anae. Yeah, the Titans met with him. Alton Robinson, the Syracuse outside linebacker, defensive end. There are plenty of guys, man, plenty of guys that I know will draw interest. And we're going to keep the sleeper series going, too. Mm-hmm. Guys that you don't hear Mel Kiper or Todd McShay talking about, but guys that are definitely on Emory Hunt's radar. This is going to be a great season. Already established a lot of connections, and we haven't even gotten to the combine yet.
And the combine's coming. I actually might be going to the combine, fun fact. I'll tell you about that later. But a guy who the Titans drafted last year, also a guest on Talking with TD, A.J. Brown, I think exceeded all expectations as a rookie. I mean, if you thought he was good, I'm not sure if anybody except him saw what he did coming, and he still wants more. This guy definitely deserving of any kind of rookie of the year accolades he could earn.
Yeah. If he doesn't win that award tomorrow, it's a crime.
Who is in competition with him? Josh Jacobs?
Josh Jacobs, Kyler Murray. I mean,
but none of those guys took over and changed the complexions of as many games as A.J. Brown did on the scale he did.
Yeah, and I would put DK Metcalf in that competition too, but we're talking about a guy that, you know, did some things that haven't been done since 1998.
You know, that was the year I was born, for context. Probably the year he was born, too. We graduated high school the same year.
The last rookie wide receiver to have five or more touchdowns of 40 yards or more, he has a gold jacket. Randy Moss. You know, this guy, 20 yards a catch? I mean, think about it. He had, 52, 54 receptions? Over 1,000 yards, eight touchdowns. You hear Michael Irvin gush about him. You hear Willie McGinnis gush about him. You hear, San Diego State to the Packers and then to the Raiders and now NFL Network. Number 89, dadgummit.
James Jones. I had his face in my brain.
You hear him. These guys are gushing about him. I don't see what more he has to do. And if you want to put it to a local perspective, the last Titans rookie receiver / Oilers rookie receiver was to have over 1,000 yards is Ernest shimmy y'all Givens. Ernest used to have that electric shimmy he used to do after he scored. I used to love that. But that happened in 1986.
We also know our morning show co-host, Derek Mason, pretty fond of him as well.
Yeah. Well, I tell you a funny story real quick. I saw D-Mace. I was talking to him on the sideline. And I said, hey, man, did you meet A.J. Brown yet? And he hadn't. So I called. I said, A.J., come here. This is Derek Mason. Derek Mason, A.J. Introduced him, right? And then walking off the field, I said, A.J., you know who you met? He was like, yeah. I said, that's the leading receiver in Titans history.
That's the guy who played your position for this organization.
Exactly. He blazed the trail for the Titans wide receivers. So I think there's no way he should not win the award. Much respect to Josh Jacobs, Kyler Murray. DK Metcalf has an argument because he was a factor in a team going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But A.J. Brown was a factor too.
And the Titans made it further.
Exactly. And had better numbers, you know, A.J. did. Yeah. So, yeah, do what you're supposed to do, voters. Make that thing happen.
All right, and I think that's all we're going to have time for here on Chase and TD this week. Don't forget, if you missed any part of this episode, talking a lot of things NFL draft, if you missed it, it'll be up wherever you find your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Go subscribe, leave it a 5-star rating, and we will talk to you later.